Hi guys, welcome to Guardian Radio. Tonight we have John Fowler, and then we also have Jonathan Brandis of Midnight Watchmen. John, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is John Fowler, founder of Midnight Watchmen, as well as ParanormalDictionary.com.
Awesome. So tell me more about the Paranormal Dictionary. I'm quite curious.
ParanormalDictionary.com basically is a Wikipedia for the paranormal end. Wikipedia, which is a great site for knowledge and information, unfortunately doesn't cater to anything that's not deemed relevant or noteworthy outside of areas. And that affects probably 99% of paranormal groups out there. While my site, ParanormalDictionary.com, pretty much if you're into paranormal, have a group, private investigator, a place that's haunted, you're welcome there to have a place to be known.
Awesome. As far as the group goes, when was it founded?
Midnight Watchmen was founded around 2006. We had our first investigation at the end of 2007 at Jenny Wade House in Gettysburg.
Cool. So did you catch a lot of evidence there? Is that what kind of kick-started all the investigations?
Not so much that we caught. We did catch some EVPs there in our first one. What started the investigation process was back in, I believe it was 05, actually. Tony and his wife at the time went out to Gettysburg on a trip, got some pictures in the Jenny Wade House in the basement that they thought were interesting. I debated with her on the issues of what they thought they saw, and basically we decided that me and Tony go back next year and see what we could do, which was 06, you know, basically to debunk the photo. And we got to talk about how if we could investigate the place, actually, instead of just, like, you know, paying for the tour, walking through and kind of looking. And one thing led to another, and I set up, you know, our first official investigation in 07.
Okay. What is one of your most memorable experiences in the paranormal, personal?
Well, I think my most memorable one probably would be the Black Bass Hotel for many reasons, good and bad. It was one of those places that's very historic. We got lucky when we got in to do it. They were renovating some stuff at the time, which is always, you know, interesting to go in. And everybody there had personal experiences that night. I believe I saw something that may have been a spirit, I guess you'd call it. I'm not too sure, next to Tony at the time, that looked like our other member, John Cannon. It's one of those deals where I saw, thought it was him, went back to his deal and asked for him and realized he wasn't there, asked where he was, and they said he was upstairs the whole time. But I know I saw somebody next to Tony.
Okay. Jonathan, what about you?
What, for most memorable experience so far?
Anything happened to you that kind of got you kick-started into wanting to investigate?
More or less, the reason I started was basically because I was tired of watching it on TV. I'm not going to find out that way. So I decided to join a group and find out for myself.
Cool. What's your favorite investigation, Jonathan, as far as the group goes?
So far, I kind of want to say the OBR, only simply for the personal experience of seeing an orb with my own eyes and not having it show up on camera.
So annoying that night.
Okay, that's cool. As far as the Gettysburg, I heard you guys went last weekend?
Yeah.
Where did you go exactly? I heard you went to three.
Yes, we hit the Jenny Wade House again, the Soldier Orphans Museum, which is next to Jenny Wade. They have a lot of linked history, allegedly, as well as, you know, sightings that people have had and experiences. And then we did the Fairfield Inn in Fairfield, which was a very historic place. Goes back to, I believe, the owner said 1750s. Is that correct, Brandis?
It was definitely in the 1700s. I don't know if it was, it might have been the 1750s. I know that he said it was the first actual, I guess, inn in Adams County that was registered.
Okay. Jonathan, as far as your approach to the paranormal, are you more into tech? Are you a skeptic? Where do you go in thinking? What's your perspective?
I'd probably put myself more on a skeptical side. I'd like to see a piece of equipment actually prove, or, you know, yeah, basically prove that something's there. Which, yeah, it's kind of hit or miss. But yeah, that's usually how I approach it. I'd like to go into a place and just see what our equipment picks up. Hopefully we get something, and then that, you know, you can't debunk, you know, scientifically.
Right. And John, what about you?
I try to use the equipment to validate what we're getting, but there's a lot of times you're never going to get the validation. I mean, most of our cases have personal experiences. I mean, look at the orb that Brandis was talking about that we both saw at the OBR. The video footage just shows us reacting to it, and you do not see what we are, you know, referring to.
Right.
So I try to have a healthy mix of science and, I guess, faith, for the lack of a better term, in what we do.
Okay. What's one of the biggest pieces of evidence you probably caught?
Biggest piece of evidence? Mostly audio at this point. I don't think we really have anything video-wise that would be considered amazing.
So a lot of EVPs?
Yes, EVPs. We've had everything from, you know, the standard comments back on stuff, like, you know, smart-ass remarks to... Well, at Eastern State, I have one that's not up on the website quite yet, but it's basically I was threatened to be assaulted, which was interesting to say the least.
The Rate Me one?
Yes, that one. Not exactly one of my favorites, just because it's kind of scary, but it's as interesting as indifferent. I believe that was the woman's cell block, so kind of weird, but I guess fitting. At least I hope it was the woman's cell block.
No men.
But then again, with some of the EVPs, I mean, honestly, it is hard to tell male, female. It is definitely a voice, but it's not always easily definable.
Do you believe in attachments, that it's possible that an investigator would bring their attachments to a case, which is why you produce so much evidence at times?
I'll agree with that. I have a spirit that follows me around a lot lately by the name of Alice, but I call her anyway, and she responds to that. I do not know where she came from. If, you know, through a mutual friend you met, you know, we met and she jumped from her to her to me. But she's been around because she'll pop up here and there. No idea where she came from, though.
Okay. When did that start happening, activity-wise?
Let's see. Well, Alice, I would say, is in the last year, but it is possible that she's been around for at least two or three.
Okay. Do you think she picked her up on a case, or what place you're living? What do you think?
Well, I was working with a friend of mine with a possible attachment issue a couple years ago, and we got an EVP that sounded like a little girl asking, is anybody there? In the middle of me and her just recording a session, just talking about, you know, her experiences to get that on record. And it's amazing because it was after that a lot of stuff started to happen slowly that I think led to her. It could be totally unrelated, but it doesn't seem that way to me.
Okay. Have you ever come in contact with more evil or, let's say, demonic entities in your cases? And if so, did you contact the appropriate people? What did you do?
I wouldn't say we've had anything demonic. We've dealt with some spirits that are negative.
Like
could be negative. They're not always strictly negative, but most of the ones we've dealt with have been pretty much your normal everyday spirit. They'll just do things like move stuff, or they'll communicate through EVPs. Nothing really negative that you'd have to go to the next level to have the house blessed, or, you know, bring clergy in, any of that stuff. We've been lucky, I guess, so far in that regards.
As far as cases go, do you do more residential versus commercial, or is it kind of a mix of both?
We do a mix, but I think mostly we do commercial just because residential is harder to find in this area. Mostly because people don't talk about that too much, especially people they don't know.
Right.
So it's harder to cases, which is why we tend to be out of our own county to do cases mostly. Which is strange, considering this is a haunted area in Bucks, to say the least. It's one of the oldest in PA and a lot of history.
Right. How much tech do you guys consider appropriate? Do you guys have a lot of tech, or is it just the minimal? And you guys go into tech a lot, or is that not your thing?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what you define as too much or minimal. I mean, we typically always have audio recorders running. If we can cover it, like a place, we'll cover the whole place with the DVR audio. And to some people, that would be extreme tech. To us, that's normal. I like to be able to see what's going on as much as possible, audio and visual-wise, in a place to define, you know, what is there. Is it paranormal truly, or is it something mundane?
Do you have any mediums or psychics on your team, or are you not into that?
We have a few people that you might consider sensitive that we've worked with. I don't. The term medium is, I still feel, can be a little subjective.
It's,
I mean, 'cause everybody has gifts, so, and some are stronger than others. So it's hard to. There isn't exactly an easy term for medium that can mean a lot of things,
right,
more than just that. So I don't even use that term. But we have a few people that are sensitive that can pick up on spirits or places or energy, whatever you want to define it as.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I talked about the medium thing tonight. I mean, biblically, a medium that summons things is considered a little bit on the skeptic side, but when they come to you, it's natural. So, as far as the group itself, do you have any events coming up, any speaking events, any paranormal conferences or anything?
We will be attending, I believe, still the Delaware Paranormal Expo. That's in May, I believe, is the date off the top of my head. We should be at that one. And then the end of March here on the 22nd? 20, it's 22nd or 29th, Brandis, that we're doing Del Valle. I always get my dates mixed up this much month.
I think that's the 22nd.
Yeah. Yeah, because Feminology is that weekend that you guys are going out, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, was that Danielle? I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, keep going. I was just saying okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll be speaking at Del Valle College on the 22nd. It's in the science building. I don't have the information in front of me. I'm going to pull it up now. I do believe it's open to anybody, that we weren't told differently on that. So we were there last year, and that was pretty interesting because it's a, I guess you call it a critical thinking class, basically.
Right.
Where you take ideas and challenge things and challenge each other for stuff. And so we fit in perfectly with that because, well, let's be honest. I mean, paranormal investigation, you have to challenge your ideas and each other.
Right.
So here's the info. If anybody's interested, it's Thursday, March 22nd at Mendel Hall, room 235 at 6:30 p.m. Anybody is welcome, according to the message we got. It didn't just say college students, so.
And what part of Pennsylvania is this?
That would be in Doylestown, PA.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's cool. How many people do you have in your team?
I believe we're hovering around 9 or 10 at this moment with a few trainees. We're working on getting into more full-time membership with them in the next couple of months.
Okay. I know that you have John Beard, and then you've got Jonathan. Do you know an exact amount? I mean, do you have any regulars versus just kind of the part-time, like you were saying?
Regulars right now pretty much is Brandis, me, and Beard.
Okay.
And one of the trainees has been out a lot, but he's been getting better, and we're getting him moving slowly into full-time casework and some other stuff. Right now we're just teaching him some equipment and the review process, because that's two of the biggest things before going out on a case.
Yeah.
Then one of the other trainees will be starting to work with more now that we're back from Gettysburg and basically building up this year for events.
How often do you guys do cases?
Whenever we can. I mean, we ideally like to do one a month, but right now we're backlogged with evidence review, so I'm not really pushing for anything commercial to set up. If a private case comes up, that'll take priority. But as of right now, we're not really scheduling cases.
How often do you guys do review? Is it a weekly thing or a monthly based on the case load?
Right now we're doing twice a week for the most part. I'll pretty much end up doing almost any day that people can join. I mean, that's, you got to catch up, you got to spend time. I mean, if you have 100 hours of review, for example, you need at least 100 hours to get through it. That's assuming that nothing's there to actually, you know, check or, you know, make a note of.
Right.
I think that's the one thing a lot of people who are fans of the paranormal get misled on TV for sure is the review process. I mean, Taps makes it look like it's a 2-minute process, and it's definitely not a 2-minute process.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It can be, and I mean, we literally do a record. I mean, I have my own personal running usually. Sometimes somebody else will, and then you take a house of 5 rooms. If you have 5 recorders, you're going 4 hours. That's 20 hours of review just for the rooms, plus DVR footage and any other handhelds you may have. Or it adds up pretty quick, and some people don't realize that.
Okay. Jonathan, is there anything that you wanted to add about the group?
No, I think he pretty much covered that.
Okay.
Come on, Brandis, you have to talk more.
Yeah, I know, Brent, last time we had this conversation, Brandis didn't say anything.
Well,
Beard
he has talked more so
far
tonight, though, so that's good.
Yeah, he has spoke more than I've... Wow. Brandis, you're breaking a record right now.
Joy.
Yeah.
Well, we do have in April, before I forget, our 5-year anniversary party at STEMI's in Easton, which anybody who has worked with us or knows us or wants to join us there can. It's a bar restaurant, so feel free to come in.
Cool. That sounds awesome. Can you tell us how to set up our accounts on Paranormal Dictionary if someone wanted to?
Basically, you'd log into Paranormal... Well, I should say log in because you have to set an account up. You go to ParanormalDictionary.com.
Mm-hmm.
And to create an account... Log out here so I can. On the top right corner, it says log in, create account.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has a login screen, say create account. You have your username you'd pick, password, you know, usual setup for these.
And if someone doesn't understand it, they can always go to you and you can actually help set up the pages.
That is correct. I've set up a few different pages for some paracelebs who may not want to be as actively involved in the site. And basically, I understand the wiki coding isn't for everybody. Not everybody is technologically or computer literate, and that's fine. That's why I make myself available, besides the web admin, my own email for the group. If somebody wants to contact me to set a page up, or at least help to set a page up, I have no problem doing that.
Okay. We actually have a question from the audience, and the... audience member says, Cedric, with all the different personalities in a group, how do you deal with certain types of drama, or do you have any drama in your group at all?
I like to think of our group as a family, so there's going to be drama, and I think what it comes down to is just basically understanding that not every day everybody's going to get along, and as long as people aren't taking things personally and talk things out, whether it's a personal issue with another member or something maybe group-related they don't think we should be doing or think we should be doing differently. You just need to talk it out and figure it out. I mean, it's like any relationship takes communication. If you don't have communication, things are going to fall apart. We've had people that don't want to communicate, and that will cause issues. I like to think that, you know, I go out of my way to contact people and take responsibility for issues that, you know, I've dropped the ball on. I mean, to be honest, with the vacation, I almost forgot we had this interview tonight. With the Gettysburg trip.
Right.
And that threw me off because I'm thinking it's tomorrow when it was today.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to be honest and just, you know, be honest with each other. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, I know that you wanted to probably thank Brad for helping you in hosting he hosts the site, right?
That is correct. Brad does host a site with his Bizarre Tech. Yeah, Brad has been a big help. I mean, even before Paranormal Dictionary, he helped me set up the blog end on the Midnight Watchman page.
Yeah, I wanted to give him thanks, too, because he's been helping me as well. He's a great guy. He's going to be managing the PPRS site as well from now on.
Yeah, I had heard that, and I think Jim's been working with him a little bit, too. So Brad's getting more into the paranormal end of, I guess, web development, you can call it. So...
We actually have another question from Susie, and she asks, what advice would you give a newcomer?
What advice? Before I get to that question, I will plug Brad's site since he's posting it in the chat room there, bizarretech.com.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, Brad. Are you happy?
Yes, he's happy.
All right. As for the question about the newcomers, basically, I think I've said this before in a couple different places. Warren, like, if you have equipment you're going to use to go out and investigate, warn it. And you have to understand your equipment, and you have to understand the environment you're going into. And what I mean by that is, if you go to a place like, say, Bobby Mackey's, which has a lot of negative energy, to say the least, whether you believe in demonic or not, if you go to a place like that, you have to be prepared for that type of environment compared to just a standard house that may or may not be haunted with a legend. So basically, understand your tech, because that's what's going to get you the, whether it's your camera or something fancy, or understand it, because that's what will get your evidence. You want to make sure you understand that, so you're not putting something out there that's definitely not paranormal.
Right.
And you want to protect yourself for sure, too, whether it's spiritually or, you know, physically. I mean, because some of these places can be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just because of possible, you know, abandoned buildings or less than upkept, you know, property.
Okay. Well, as far as evidence goes, it's definitely okay to post something that isn't paranormal, as long as you're asking for an opinion. Like,
that's
if you
true.
Think it is, like, there's a matrixing issue we have with the evidence that I posted, or what I like to call data instead of evidence. I posted about my house, and to some people it's matrixing, to some people it's really there. So I think that's important, too, is being open to opinion, because people easily get offended, if not, and they get angry.
Some people will defend our evidence, or data, whatever you want to call it, to the death, no matter what. They could even... they could take that pic, like the picture you had, you know, I even debated with you on that about matrixing, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, and I believe it. As I looked at it more, it did make sense, only because the cleanup could have altered something.
Yep, and some people would take that photo, and they'll defend it to the day they die, but then the next time something like that pops up, they'll say, oh, that's matrixing. So some people really just don't ever want to let go of their... you know, whatever they think they have. And that's one of the biggest things I'll tell you too for a newcomer is you need to let go of evidence sometimes. If you learn that this isn't paranormal, you need to let go of it. That's why I have a 50-50 section. That's the stuff that we'll put in that maybe we aren't ready to let go, but we're not going to say it's paranormal. We'll just let people make their own decisions about it.
Open for debate.
Yep, pretty much. And I think that works better, personally, anyway.
Can you actually, I used to have the EVPs because you sent them to me before for the first show. Could you send me maybe the rape one or something interesting that the audience could hear? And in the meantime, we can talk. Is that okay?
Yeah, let me look right now. I'll see what I can send you.
Okay. Jonathan, you still with us?
Yep.
Yay, we're getting you to talk.
He hasn't fell asleep yet.
I know.
No, I took a nap. I'm good.
Yeah, why don't you tell some stories about you falling asleep on cases while I'm looking for some EVPs?
Oh my god.
Like,
gosh.
Which one?
You fall countless. Asleep?
Oh yeah, countless.
Oh jeez. Yeah, see, on the cases that I do, well, the ones that I do remotely, because doing cases in California is a bit tricky, because we don't have a lot of the residential coming to you and saying, hey, we have something. So I usually get a lot of out-of-state questions and over the phone. Falling asleep during an infestation can be very dangerous, so be careful when you fall asleep.
Well, he snores. Yeah. We know he does.
Yeah, there's no question.
Okay, I'm sending you an EVP now, Danielle, at least from one of the private residences.
Oh, and yeah, Brad, yeah, tag along on an investigation, but make sure if you're going to tag along with the team that you can trust the team a little bit. Like, meet up with them, see how they do their... you know, their approach to everything. Make sure you can trust them, because there's some teams and there's some people that claim to be in the paranormal, and they could be, you know, they could be criminals. You don't know who they are. So be very careful, because you're in alone in a place, and usually it's at night. So if you're a beginner, just be very, very cautious. Make sure you know them before you go and you investigate.
Yeah, Brad actually came out with us to one of the covered bridges. Wow, it seems like it probably was a long time ago now, since it's... time flies, but we have had people tag along sometimes for different reasons, and I think sometimes it's good to have people tag along to have an interest in, you know, the paranormal, even if they're not like a person that come out like a full-time member, to give you a different perspective on things too.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell the audience, because with my my quote-unquote team or organization that it is, a lot of people ask, well, have you investigated? And I said, well, I know how, and I have done daytime, you know, just basic, but I haven't done night ones because until I'm able to trust the people that I associate with, I will not take them on a case that could be potentially harmful because I don't want them to get hurt either. I need to make sure I can, you know, that they're ready for that. So if you're a newcomer, just be prepared. Definitely in your
That's definitely the best advice. Be prepared in general, anything you can think of.
And then can you send me some of those EVPs now while it downloads that we can continue talking so we don't have any dead time? On Skype?
Yeah, I am sending you some now. So.
Okay, great.
And I'm looking still to see if I can find any others that may not have been pulled out yet, that may not be even live yet. So give me a second here.
Alrighty. In the meantime, we had another question from the audience, and they asked, how would you handle an unexpected demonic case?
Thankfully, we've met some different groups in the last year that can help us with that. Frank's group, New Jersey Rope, actually has a house blessing team. And we also know some other different clergy members, for lack of a better term, religious, that we've met through different groups. So we have some options we could pull out of our hat if we had to get a demonic entity removed. I try not to use the term demonologist too much with anybody because I think that term gets thrown around a little bit too much anymore.
Hey.
Well, I'm not saying you, but in general, I think some people do use that term too much. And because, I mean, there's a literal meaning of study of demons, and there's also dealing with them. And there's too many different variations on what that can be.
Well, you need to learn it all.
What was that?
You need to learn it all. That's the thing with demonology. You never stop learning. So you can call yourself a demonologist as long as you know you're prepared spiritually and, you know, with a little bit of knowledge that you're able to consult with others, too. You need to have people you can consult.
Well, that same goes with paranormal investigation. You're always learning. There's always new equipment. There's always new ideas. And there's always something you can do different. And I've seen so many groups that are newer think they know everything because they have new stuff. And they don't understand anything that happens, you know, happened a couple years before they started. And they think everybody does it this way. And that's just not the truth. I mean, the groups do things different ways. I mean, there's groups that go out like, well, when you do an investigation, Danielle, for example, either it's a simple one, you use a few pieces of equipment, you don't use anything like we use. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, not yet, at least.
No, and that's fine. And who knows, maybe at some point you'll decide this is all you need.
Yeah.
You know, and that's your choice as an investigator. You don't have to go out and buy, you know, stuff you see on, like, Ghost Adventures, that stupid, I call it stupid, ovulus that he puts the headset on and it talks. Like, you don't have to go that far. You don't even, you know, there's, you, as an investigator, decide what you want to use and what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, we rarely get anything that's video. But it doesn't stop me from using video, but it definitely makes sure I put audio out because we get audio.
Right. Well, so. That's a good thing about time and acquiring team members in time. I didn't have all this tech to start with. I started with a couple items from, actually, the Ghost Hunter store. One of them turned out to be in Japanese, so that didn't help very much. But, you know, it's a time thing. You know, you acquire over time. You don't have to have it all at once.
Yeah, nobody has the money, typically, to go out and buy, like, the gazillions of dollars of equipment, you know, required. And that's not even your simple, like, recorders can be cheap. I mean, cameras can be cheap, like, standard cameras. But when you start getting into, like, you know, infrared or, you know, full spectrum or even night vision products, it adds up pretty quick, you know.
Well, that's why I give my equipment. I actually give my equipment now that I'm starting to acquire members over time yet again. I allow them to bring what they want as well, as long as they, you know, we can plan ahead. But I usually give them my equipment at that same time where I set it down because I don't want that equipment to affect me. Because someone just said in the audience, it's a distraction too, so you have to be very careful.
Because it can be. Yeah. It depends on how you use it. I mean, what we typically do is, like, we have a lot of equipment. We have an 8-camera DVR system. You know, we have a lot of recorders. We have a scout camera, which I do see somebody asked. I will get back to that in a second. The thing is, what we do differently to make sure we get grounded, as I guess you could say, is we set up the equipment if we can, and we let this everything sit for about an hour, and we do something else before going into the investigation. That way, we're not just worried about the setup and then the investigation, then the takedown. There was a break there to get back in groove with the place. And honestly, usually me and Brandis set up most of the equipment ourselves while anybody else is doing some other different things. So it's not a distraction in that regards. If it becomes a distraction, I would probably cut out something to not use it.
Yeah. The question about the scouting camera, do you want to answer that? I know you saw it already. So.
Yeah. We have a game camera we use, and I think it comes in handy. Even if it's just a track, you know, an area where you can't get a camera in or something along those lines, it can be very useful. There's, like any piece of equipment, there's pros and cons. I've noticed that if you put it in certain places, and something's too close to the camera lens, when it flashes the night vision, it'll blind out the screen. But that's the same way with anything with night vision. So it depends on your camera. You kind of have to know its limitations, like any other piece of equipment. You got to know what it can and can't do, and, you know, use it accordingly. You know, you maximize the strengths of equipment and people, and you try not to show the weaknesses.
Right. Well, I'm going to play the ones that you sent me. I believe there's three of them. Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead. There should be on our website, too.
Okay. Well, I just want to give everybody kind of a incentive to head over there as soon as the show's over. I don't know where it went, though. Okay. Okay,
Which one are you going to play first, then? I'll set that up.
I think I'm going to play, it says Cat.
Yes, that is from the private case. That is one of our favorite EVPs, mostly because it's the most craziest thing you may hear on a case, randomly. And there's a story to it, but I'll let you play it first, then we'll kind of explain the story behind it.
All right. Is that at the end, right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
The interesting thing about that recording is no one was in the room when that happened. Every other recorder in that home did not pick that up. We had the house covered, including a handheld camera that was right around the room, and basically didn't pick that up. Now, that does say everybody... Fuck Cat. That's actually what it says.
Right. I'm gonna play it again, like a double.
Fuck Cat.
To me, it sounds like tapping. Actually,
the voice is not is what the issue is. It's not the tapping or anything before or after it. But when we played that back to the homeowner, she recognized the voice right away, and it was from somebody who was deceased, who didn't like cats. And then to go along with that, her son, who was actually the one that brought us in, wouldn't shut up about cats that night. Mm-hmm. Cats came up in stories. Cats came up everywhere, and that's...
Do you think that their talk about it could have actually self-induced it? Like, with a legend, if a legend is reported in a place, it could actually induce an energy to act like it and take its form.
Yeah, I know what you mean there, but I don't think that's the case where it was projected or anything along those lines. It's possible. I mean, when it comes to projection stuff, anything is possible. I mean, somebody in the group could have been tired of hearing it, and they projected it, and it was recorded. But then why would the homeowner's mother recognize the voice when she was not there during the case?
Right.
Okay. So that's the part that I think is the more interesting.
Okay, well, now I'm going to play the bar at 3 hour.
I was going to say, back to that EVP, to also note, that whole house was covered, and only one recorder picked that up. The handheld camera was maybe 10 feet away and should have picked it up. The other recorders on every other room can pick up any conversation across the house. So the fact that one recorder picked that up is the really unique part of it.
Okay, I'm going to play the second one. Let's see how this goes.
Couldn't hide.
Okay.
Couldn't hide.
Is that what, German or something?
What we figured out is it's... we believe it's there'll be a mix between German and Pennsylvania Dutch. It took some time to track it down, but it meant good health, basically.
Right.
And good health at the bar was interesting because nobody spoke German there when we were there, and it was in the middle of a conversation. It was thrown in between a few of us talking at the main bar at... actually, this is at Stemmy's, where we'll be holding our anniversary party, ironically enough.
Interesting. Yeah.
And good health would be something you'd hear at a bar. People are drinking or toasting, so
right,
it was unique, to say the least.
The audience would say couldn't hurt. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just very clear. I automatically knew it was German. All right, let me get to the third one, and then we'll close it up.
We'll see if you can hear this over the video here or not.
I hear it. Yeah, I have a Jim. I agree. I don't always hear the EVPs. I usually hear things about it.
Yeah, EVPs can be very personal.
Yeah, but that one you can hear. That one you can hear if you really focus.
Yeah, I'm not too sure anybody's going to hear that over the live stream with this. I recommend going to the website and checking that out, where you can crank your own speakers or headphones and go from there. That is an EVP that is definitely buried in the background noise, and honestly, I probably haven't cleaned that file up too much. I don't like cleaning the files up too much, because if you do, I kind of think you may lose...
some of the originality of it?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the one that was from the interview with my friend that just popped up in the background.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely go to the site. That was just kind of a teaser into it. Is there anything else, any other, projects going on other than the dictionary site?
No, right now we're just catching up on some review, and I'm trying to go with the, you know, website updates when I get a chance here, with the review being caught up. Then along with that, I've been doing the paranormal Q&As with groups, you know, people like yourselves or other investigators and different groups, to try to get their name out there a little bit on our website. Because I do believe in unity, and in the sense that, you know, we help each other and deal with each other without any BS, basically.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to like everybody in that does paranormal. Just if you don't like them, don't deal with them. There's no need to go out of your way to smack people down, you know.
Well, it distracts you from the original meaning of why we do it, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And just for the ambiguity, I don't know who you are actually on the chat room, but I agree with you in the class A or very good class B, you know, EVPs. But then again, that's something that's not a set definition for everybody. I mean, a class A to somebody may not be a class A to you. We don't have set definitions for all this stuff in the field. We're getting there to a point, but it's not always cut and dry.
Well, you can always do something like what you do on your site with the 50-50, or just put sections like so-so and very clear. I mean, you can always mix it up, or you can put out everything. It doesn't mean that you hold it to heart that it's all perfect. You know, it's all...
yeah, that's
definite.
True. But then again, I do know that people don't always read what you post. Like, a good example is the Witch's Chair in Bristol we did. It's not haunted. It's a good story. We backed the story down. And, you know, to the original writer who brought it up and created it a few years ago, and I posted a video basically saying that, you know, the Historical Society doesn't like that people are going out and, you know, trying this local legend, and that it's a shame that history is being destroyed because people don't read the history. And what's the first thing I see under the comment? Oh, I want to go sit in that chair and investigate. I'm like, well, gee, thanks for reading. You know, it's like people don't seem to want to, you know,
take the time.
Pay attention. Take the time to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with, you know, I pay attention, but if someone comes to me with a bunch of EVPs and evidence and says, oh, look at this, I'm like, okay. It's like going to work and coming home and talking about work. if you are in the paranormal all the time. So it just, it also depends on what the the audience member was saying about putting out the best. You know, it's probably the best idea, but if someone's going to put out everything, it's not that they're bad or anything. You know, they're just trying to get opinions, and I think that's probably a good idea at this point.
Yeah, as long as they, you know, they state that, I think that's fine. But I said it comes down to people actually paying attention and reading and understanding that.
Yeah.
And that's another good point. A lot of people do think that, you know, if it's old, it has to be haunted. And that's not always true. Ambiguity, do you have a group name? Like, who are you? You guys had some good points and questions in the chat room tonight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Jim. Well, Ghost Hunters, in my opinion, there's a couple different ones. There's the Thrill Seekers, and then there's just casual, okay, let's just go because we can. Like, if I was driving and I pass a cemetery and I just wanted to go and see it and kind of investigate, that would be kind of a hunting versus investigation. But
ghost hunts and ghost investigations. I do think there's a difference. And I know some people don't agree with that, and that's fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean it's a bad to be one or the other, and you can be all of them at the same time. You just have to distinguish what you're
doing. Oh, I agree. We've done hunts and investigations. I don't think there's a problem with it. I just think it's understanding, again, the limitations of the hunt versus an investigation.
Right, exactly. Okay. Well, if there's anything else, Jonathan, anything else you guys would like to add? At all? John, did he fall asleep?
No. I just don't have anything to add.
You're not playing Star Wars again, are you?
Not yet.
Okay, good.
I had to actually shut it off for this.
Good, good.
Because multitasking is relatively difficult.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and you guys are, of course, always welcome back. So, yeah, I was going to ask if you had anything to add. Jonathan, what are you doing? He's too quiet. It throws me off.
Just sitting here, taking it all in, just listening and enjoying it. That's all I'm doing.
Alright. Well, I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good night, okay?
Okay, you too, Daniel. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Bye.
See ya.
Alrighty, guys. That was John Fowler and Jonathan Brandis of Midnight Watchmen. Tomorrow, we might be having a show. We actually have some surprise guests, possibly. It's kind of an up-in-the-air show for tomorrow. I also wanted to mention that my ghost story... Christopher, he contacted me and he wanted to ask me to recruit people and send them to him. They are looking for shows. So if anyone has evidence or data and they have done a case, they are looking for those kind of people to do my ghost story. That's the kind of show they want to do for the new season coming. So if you have anything and you think you would be good for the show and you have evidence, let me know, and I will send you his email address. I don't have his media statement out in front of me right now, so I'm not reading what he said or anything, but if you need anything, let me know. I'll get it to him. They are recruiting, so I know paranormal teams should be all over it. No, I think they want audio, too. If you have any kind of visual, audio, anything, and it's related to somewhat of, you know, I would say, like, a good case, not like you're going to the cemetery or whatever. If you have a case and you think it's worth sharing, let me know. I'll give you his contact information and we'll get it set up. As far as everything else goes, yeah, I know, Jim. As far as everything else goes, we'll see what happens with tomorrow's show. The week after, I believe, let's see, calendar. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's already the 7th. The time's going by too fast. We actually have Barry Fitzgerald on March 14th. That's one of the most exciting shows I can talk about right now. Tune in tomorrow, possibly. Stay tuned. I'll have Facebook updates and Twitter and all that. Anything else, let me know. Sponsors, we've got Bizarre Tech. He is one of the best. And also we have Mystic Pennsylvania. I don't know if he's here tonight, but he's going to be possibly one of the sponsors for the site. Yep, I know. Alrighty, guys, I'm going to log off. If there's anything else, let me know, contact me, and I'll get you to my ghost story. See you later, possibly see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for updates. Also, there's a ghost hunter voting going on. Vote for me. And also, I have a lot of friends on Facebook that are running for it, too. And you can vote for everybody if you wanted to. So, yeah, I'm running so soon. Okay, Jim. Anyway, good night.